chapter 5. So we'll be running up this series today, not because we are true, but at least we've done some justice to the subject of reigning in life in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. We saw verse 1 yesterday. So Romans chapter 4, verse 25 yesterday, which is the basis for Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And I told you that the original scriptures were not in chapters and verses, that the chapters and verses are not designed to take away from the meaning. They are meant to help us with referencing. If I want to reference a verse and there's no chapter or verse, how do I let you know where it is? So that's the purpose. But you are meant to read them holistically. That means there's a thought. So sometimes a thought doesn't stop in a particular chapter. It overflows into the next chapter. Hallelujah. Okay, so when you read Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it will make more sense if you read Romans chapter 5, verse 1, you now read verse 25 of chapter 4 after. Just trying to show you how to flow with the thought. Again, if you read, when it comes to Bible study, you won't understand what I just said. The Bible is written in thoughts, not in verses. That's one of the reasons why one of the greatest crimes you can commit in Bible interpretation is to take a verse out of context. For instance, in Philippians 4:13, that says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. In context, it was talking about the fact that though he was in a difficult situation, he has learned how to stay joyful, how to stay trusting in God. I've learned both how to abase and to abound. I can do all things. So it's not a general verse, even though we sometimes use it generally. If you stay within the context of scripture, that's the only place Paul ever mentioned that scripture. He was talking about how to trust God in the midst of difficulty and your faith will not shake. That's what he's saying. He said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Amen? So if you move it out of that context, you can make it say almost anything, then there's trouble. So we're going to read Romans chapter 5 verse 1, then we'll now read Romans chapter 4 verse 25. Is that okay? Is that okay? All right, so let's read together. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who was delivered for our offenses and was one raised again for our justification. So where does our peace come from? Jesus was delivered for our offenses, not one offense, offenses, and was raised again for our being delivered for offenses is not the same thing as being raised for justification. There are two different things. If your sins have been paid for, there has to be proof that it has been paid for. And so we said in this series that the resurrection of Jesus is proof that your sins have been what? Paid for. Yes, it's true that in dying, he died your death. But when you come into the epistles actually place you on the cross with him. He says, when he was dying on the cross, you were with him. When he was buried, you were buried with him. When he was quickened, you were quickened with him. In the eye of justice, in God's mind, you were quickened together with him. So that when he was raised, it was not possible for you not to be raised together with him. So the one who died, may have died as a sinner. When he rose as a righteous man. Say amen. So being justified by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the fact that he was delivered from my offenses. Then he was raised again for my justification. Being justified by faith in that reality, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that particular fact important when it comes to reigning life? It's calling our attention that the authority you and I have is spiritual. We're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. It's not a physical seating. It's not a tangible realm. When tangible means that which is perceptible to touch, it's an intangible thing as far as this physical world is concerned, but it's more real than the physical world that we dwell in. So when it says being justified by faith, we have peace, it's saying the peace you have, the guarantee that you will never be accused again, must not rest on your actions. It mustn't rest on your conduct. Conduct is good. But conduct only makes sense after you have acknowledged what Christ has done. So the activity of Christ brings us justification, which ensures our peace. What does it mean by that peace? Except whatever Christ did wasn't complete, that's the only time your peace can be tampered with. People have asked this question, mysterious question really. Said, are you saying, whenever you hear people saying, are you now saying, just know that they are perplexed by the truth. And the challenge is this. The average individual has never really had the gospel. They think they have, but they've never really had the gospel. So they are amazed at how good God really is. Say God is a good God. Say he's good. Your salvation wasn't offered under duress. It was more than just an act of mercy. It was an act of love. That means God didn't say that way. If I don't save him, only God knows what will happen to him. And when God is saying only God knows what will happen to him. No, that's not what happened. That is humanistic thinking. The Bible says in James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. You know what it means? It was the initiator. You found out after it was done. So you are not an afterthought. You were in his plan. Say, I'm in his plan. That's important. So if God is an initiator, your salvation wasn't carried out casually. So it can't be lost casually. You can't think that committing sin will invalidate your salvation. That's where the problem is. You have forgotten that it's not about elevating sin. It's about undervaluing what Christ has done. In fact, that is the greater sin. That you are undervaluing what God has done. That's the greater sin. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, in his great love wherewith he has, past tense, say he has loved me. If he has loved you, we love you forever. Where he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he has quickened us together with Christ Jesus. And has made us what? Raised us together. And has made us to sit together. Glory to God. So even when we were dead in sins, he's telling you the sins are not an issue because Christ paid the price. So in Moses, being justified by faith, we have peace. The justification by faith, that faith is in what Christ did. And that's the secret of the believer. It must never at any point in time rest in what you do. The reason is very simple. What you do fluctuates. What he has done is eternal. That's where the issue is. So many believers' peace is an emotion. The peace that God gave us is a person and is eternally seated. So being justified by faith, we have peace. We have peace means we have Jesus. Say, I have Jesus. He is my advocate. He is seating means I am eternally forgiven. So when you bring up the issue of sins again, you are the one that's disturbed by it, which is one of the reasons why you shouldn't live in it. And one who has been disturbed by it. That's why you will never see the concept. Let me say it again, because of what we're looking at. You will never see the concept of confessing sins in the epistles. You will find it in the Old Testament. Because it was part of what was instituted by the law. Why was confessing sins important? Because under the law, what was instituted was that the sins could only be covered. It was never fully taken care of. So sacrifices were offered continually. But here's the question. If Jesus took care of your sin once and for all, what are you confessing? That's the issue. Hallelujah. What are you confessing? Pastor, are you saying we don't commit sin? What we do? And I told you yesterday that you need to understand the Bible definition of sin. It's not your definition of sin. It's the Bible definition of sin. The Bible definition of sin for a believer is simple. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's not the one who lied and stole and fornicated alone. That's human definition. God's definition is, do you know to do good and you do it not, to you it is sin. So if you don't have that definition, you start grading sin. I only tell lies. I don't steal. You are the same. Sin is sin. If all anybody did on earth was to tell lies, Jesus would still come and die. He will still pay the same price because he carries the same penalty. Say amen. So stop grading. Leave that one to the church. Stop grading sin. Understand sin is what? Sin. It carries the same penalty. So being justified, we have peace, means we will never be accused again of what God has taken care of in Christ Jesus. Look at Psalm 103. I sense in my heart we should look at some things like Psalm 103 verse 7. Let's read verse 1 to 3, then we'll jump to verse 7. Psalm 103, see what it says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his one. Doesn't that sound like an admonition for the believer today? Notice before you can forget, there has to be benefits. Notice the benefits are already there, but you can't forget. So the admonition here is that one of the ways you keep the benefits of your salvation in mind is by constantly praising and thanking God. That's what he's saying. It's a cure for loss of memory. It's the greatest cure for amnesia. That's what he's saying. And forget not all. Say all. all his benefits. Because some people just remember some. Say, forget not all his benefits. Now, he begins to mention, blessed are all my soul, and forget not, who forgives, say all. If it is all, where did you find the one you are confessing? So your problem now is this. Since I just committed this one, I need to confess this one. Since you just committed this one, the one you just committed has also been forgiven. Say it has also been forgiven. If you don't believe it, listen carefully. When did Jesus die? Yesterday or 2,000 years ago? When did you accept it? How many years ago? Hey, answer now. How many years ago did you confess it? Mine was about 32 years ago. That's when I discovered. So subtract 32 from 2000. You mentioned your own now. Pastor told you over 40 years ago. Now, think about it now. If he died 2,000 years ago, I was still in the future. I was not born. I was going to sin in the future. So before I was born, before I sinned, and all the sin I was sin, he paid for it before I was born. So my sin was in the future when he died, which means the sacrifice covers my future. How many of you agree with that? You agree? So, all he forgives all thy iniquities and healeth all thy what? Diseases. Jump with me to verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Next verse. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and what? Plenteous in mercy. Next verse. Quickly. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Next verse. He has not dealt with us. This sounds like the New Testament. He has not dealt with us after our, nor rewarded us according to our. The question is why? The answer is in the previous verse and the next verse. So this is verse 10. Look at verse 9. We'll go to verse 10 after. Look at verse 9. He will not, no, verse, look at verse 8. He is merciful and what? Now, when you see the word is a reference to nature. This is how God is. God is not a angry judge, he's a merciful God. He is merciful and gracious. What does that mean? He is slow to get angry. He is plenteous in. So if you want to measure God's wealth, how do you measure? Mercy. Ephesians 2:4 now says, for God who is rich in what? Who is rich in what? Mercy. So go to verse 11. Why won't he relate with you according to your sins? For as the heaven is an eye above the heart, so great is his mercy toward them that what fear him. Next verse. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgression from. Hallelujah. I hope you know east to west is a figure of speech. I hope you know. Who did geography here? Nobody geography. Okay. So, when it says as far as east is where, can you ever get around it? Each time you move, it just keeps getting further. It just keeps getting further. So it's a figure of speech. He's using human language to communicate how perfected or how perfect the work of God is in salvation. That's what he's saying. As far, why won't he deal with you according to your sins? He has removed it. Say he has removed it. So before the Father, the question of sin was settled when Jesus died and rose again. Do you make mistakes? Yes. Do you sometimes sin? Yes. Will it ever come up? No. So what is before the Father always? Not your sins, but the sacrifice of the Son. Glory to God. Are you saying? So, therefore, having been justified by faith in what he did, we have peace with God through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Romans 5:17 now. Romans 5:17. Pay attention. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by that one. So death began to bear rule. The word reign comes from the word kingdom. It means to bear rule, to exercise dominion. It was through one man's offense. Death came in. In verse 12, he told us, by one man's offense, death came into the world. Or sin came into the world, and death by sin. So through the offense of one man, death was introduced. That word introduced simply means it never existed until Adam transgressed. So death came as a result of Adam's transgression. Death was introduced. That death began to reign or began to affect every man, even though not all men sinned the way Adam sinned. That's what it says. So Adam released something to the system that was affecting everyone, even those who didn't sin fully the way Adam sinned. That's what he was saying. So If by that woman's offense death began to be a rule, much more they which receive what? Can somebody help me with it? What's another phrase we can use for much more? Another phrase someone can use for much more? Because much more is a qualification. Okay, he wants to tell you something. He says, if death began to reign, much more means beyond how far death went. Is that okay? Beyond how much death has revealed. Much more they which receive the abundance of what? Grace. And of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. By who? Among Christ Jesus. So by one, by Christ Jesus means by the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. Say amen. So notice, much more they which receive. Receiving abundance of grace is the same thing as receiving the gift of righteousness. They are the same. So we saw yesterday, what does it mean to be righteous? It means to be right. It means you have a standing that brooks no accusation, brooks no condemnation. It means you can stand before God, before forces of darkness, without any sense of insecurity or inferiority, because you are God's sovereign on the earth. That's what it means. So they shall reign in life through Christ Jesus. What did they receive? The abundance of grace. What's the abundance of grace? That is the gift of righteousness. Say it's a gift. Say it's a gift. Say it's a gift. So it's a status you have because you are in Christ. You were given a status. You don't work for a gift. You receive a gift. So when you came into Christ, this is God's design. You will reign. What does it mean that you shall reign? It means whatever you received equips you to reign. That's what it's saying. Whatever you have received equips you to reign. So let me put it again. When it comes to reigning, there has to be subjects. How many of you agree with that? If you're going to reign, are you seated? Where are you seated? In the heavenlies, far above all. Hebrews 1. Let's also understand that you are also seated on a throne. And only kings sit on a throne. Hebrews 1. Let's do verse 8. Look at what God told Jesus. But unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God. So does Jesus have a throne? Does he have a throne? So thy throne, O God. Whenever you hear the word throne, what else comes to mind? Kingdom. Thank you. When you hear the word scepter, what comes to mind? A king. That which is used to rule. So see what it says. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Or you have an authority that will not pass away. It will always be. You will always be in power. So he says, thy throne, O Lord, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the what? Scepter of your kingdom. Next verse. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated. What does it mean to hate iniquity? He paid the price for it. That's how he showed that he hated it. Even that God has anointed with all of gladness above thy fellows. It's talking about prophecy. So it says that throne of God is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness. So what do we use to be a rule in this kingdom? Righteousness. Say, I'm righteous. Now, if righteousness is used to be a rule, it means that what makes men weak is sin consciousness. I mean, if you agree with them, it's sin consciousness. Remember we saw yesterday in Isaiah chapter 54 that there is no weapon that is formed against you that will prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shalt what? So what weapons will the enemy send your way? Tongue rising against you in judgment. What's that? Condemnation. Condemnation. So what is God's way of freeing you from condemnation? Righteousness. Hallelujah. It's righteousness. See, I'm righteous. I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. I bear rule. I reign in life. Hallelujah. It's more than a confession. It's your reality. That's why you can stand before forces of darkness and issue a command and they listen and they obey, because you are God's righteousness. You can't be more right than you are already. You are right. See, I'm right. See, I'm right. So you have a status that God has given you as a gift. And when you speak about righteousness, you can't mention sin in the same verse. It's not possible. Remember, it says, they which receive the abundance of grace, which is the gift of righteousness, shall reign. What would they use to reign? Righteousness. So if they receive the abundance of grace and the gift, it is a gift, means it didn't come by your conduct. So you can't maintain it by your conduct. It is supposed to fine-tune your conduct. But your conduct doesn't produce it. It was given you as a gift, a status, a standing. How was it given? You are in Christ Jesus. So those who receive it, God's plan from time immemorial is that they shall. The word shall is the strongest affirmation in English language. They shall reign in life. That means the work is so complete that there is no possible, your authority doesn't brook disobedience. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. Your authority doesn't brook disobedience. That's what he's saying. Say, my authority in Christ doesn't brook disobedience. Why did we go through all these details to find out these truths? Let me tell you why. Based on things we've been exposed to, other than the Word of God, movies, films, false testimonies, okay, we have had a wrong mindset about what God did for us. So you see a believer who is the desire of all ages in Christ Jesus, living far below the Old Testament saints who were waiting for him to come. I mean, what we're living in now, Peter says, of weak salvation, the prophets are prophesied. They spoke of the grace that should come to you, which you are in now. And the spirit that was in what they said, they were searching. What time frame those things will come in reality? Why were they searching? David knew this thing I'm talking about is beyond what I have now. David had a standing with God, but he saw something that surpassed it. Abraham saw. He knew what he saw was something far better than what he had. So the prophets did yearly inquire. They were searching. When will this be a reality where a man can sit with God? They were searching. And yet these people, the Bible says, they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They quenched the violence of fire. They stopped the mouths of lions. They turned to flight the enemy of the aliens. Women received their dead raised back to life. Think about it. In fight, they waxed valiant. Out of weakness, they were made strong. I'm quoting Hebrews chapter 11. Think about that. And all this died in the faith, not having received the promise. What was the promise? Sitting together with Christ Jesus. Now, think about it. Just let your mind travel a little bit. Can you imagine Jesus facing demonic powers and saying, not my portion? You see, you are laughing. That's Jesus. Jesus saying, like, no, no, no. God, you will not let me suffer like this. Not my portion. Just think. Just think. You see, you are already laughing. So, where did we go wrong? You are facing demonic powers. You are saying, not my portion. They will first have comedy. Not your portion. It's already your portion. You have come. Think. So, we unconsciously leak how we're thinking through our words. Instead of being resisting, you are defensive. You already think in your statements that the enemy has the upper hand. You are looking at the experience. You are not looking at the revelation of who you are. And it's reflecting in your statements. They asked Pastor Adebe one day, he said, they said the ship was going to sink. He said, yes, I heard what they said. He said, what did you do? He said, I went to sleep. He said, why? He said, Jesus told me that that's what I did also. So you also do the same. It's because as he is, so we are. The same sheep. Some people are doing VG. Ah, my father. You didn't tell me we were going to sing. He didn't say so. You know. Somebody else used the authority. A plane was shaking in the air. And you know Nigerians, we always think of worst case scenario. Nobody thinks of what if it's just a minor fault. Nobody thinks minor. It's the worst thing. You can't even, nobody even thinks the plane has hiccups. No. Ah, this is how I went my journey. My name is Afalali Kota. So, it's worst case scenario. Then the person observed those days when Bishop used to fly commercial. And so Bishop was seated somewhere. At least he had enough sense. Said, ah, here's my own fate. If this man is in this plane, two things will happen. Either he doesn't crash or he disappears. Whatever we carry him, will carry me. Now, a man like him has become a principality because of what he knows. Don't make a mistake. It's not because he's a servant of God. It's because of what he knows. He knows as he is. So am I. I was talking to a young man this morning, was talking to me on the phone, and I had held a meeting for him and some other young ministers sometime last year. So he told me, said, ah, sir, I have a testimony, I have things happened. after you showed me and you lay hands on me and you spoke to me, exactly what you did in that meeting, I did it in the other meeting. A lady that was paralyzed, I didn't touch her, I just looked at her as she looked at us. Because I taught them some things about how to minister healing without touching. He said, everybody saw the paralyzed leg begin to shake, as though something was shaking it, and then she got up and walked. Everybody was shocked. We have dominion. We have dominion. I don't minister like this when I go outside, though. I hope you know. Follow me out one day, you'll see. You will not think it's your pastor. Outside, I'm not a pastor. I'm a pastor here. I'm outside, I am not a pastor. I occupy a different office entirely. Because what I'm meant to do outside is a bit different. This thing is for us to use. I'm not going to get to heaven and be apologetic. God forbid. When here, people are looking at mad people and demons leave by look. And you are here. Lighting can do. No. That's why I say, I'm not just teaching for fun to excite you. I'm teaching so you can walk in the reality. You can stop being a victim in your mind. The statement is absolute. They which receive, have you received? Have you received abundance of grace? Do you have the gift of righteousness? What are you meant to do? Reign. You're not beggarly. To reign means to be a rule. It means to exercise authority. It means you're not a victim. You're not opening. It means that I just hope God will deliver me one day. You? Deliver you one day. Which one day? What did he do 2,000 years ago? He made you alive. He quickened you. He moved things beyond that. He made you to sit. Guess how long you're meant to sit? Look at Hebrews 10, 12. Hebrews 10, 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Next verse. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his one. Let me ask a question. When he rose from the dead, did he conquer the forces of darkness? By his resurrection, did he conquer them? Then when he sat, what does he mean to sit? We looked at that many times. It means to bear authority. It means to be at the Father's right hand. The Father's right hand is not physical right hand. The word right hand means authority. It means if you're going to see God demonstrate power, who you will see is Jesus. If you ever get to heaven now, you won't see two thrones, you will see one. Because right hand means that all my authority is exercised through this person. That's what right hand means. So right hand or sitting doesn't mean there's a cushy chair that people sit down there. And you are seated with him, you know, every time somebody gets born in the game, you know, say, you shift. Let me sit, shift. No. To be seated means that as he is in authority, we are in one authority. Glory to God. So the word said, sit down at my right hand till I make. Yes, it's expecting till his enemy. So the word sit down there means remain in power. Remain in authority until this is accomplished. So he was placed in authority in order for all enemies to be his footstool. What footstool means? You have dominion over all enemy. You exercise authority. You bring them into subjection. That means they will not be brought into subjection until you subject them. So the enemy will not come and bow. You have to exercise your authority to bring him under. As it works. Hallelujah. So stay in power, remain in authority till all your enemies become your footstool. That's what it says. For me, that's explaining till enemies be made his footstool. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 from verse 20. Ephesians 1 from verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the. So this is what places italicized. Next verse. What is next? Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. Next verse. And has put, say has put. I has put all things under his feet. So the authority that Jesus has is that there is no other power, that authority that is higher than what he has. That's why he has put all things under his feet. Means under his control, under his rule. All things are under his rule, under his control. So no matter the magnitude of the money corporations you see, they are under the feet of Jesus. No matter how long a man has been afflicted or in difficulty, that difficulty and affliction is under the feet of Jesus. See what he says. See what he says. He said, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is what? His body, the fullness of him that what? Fills all in all. So here's what he's saying. What does it mean to put all things under his feet? is what he's explaining there. He says he gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So the church is his body. Say, I'm part of his body. So his feet upon his enemies is the church exercising authority in the name of Jesus. That's what he's talking about. So is he in authority? Yes. What does it mean to be in authority? It means we are in authority. How long? What is the authority for? To put the enemy underfoot. To exercise authority over the enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why every wrong interpretation can cost you. Can cost you. Romans 8:29. I've seen people say this, and that is the problem of wrong Bible interpretation. Have you ever heard people say things like, be Christ-like? Have you heard before? Have you heard before? Okay. Do you know it's not Bible teaching? You can tell David to be Christ-like. How can you tell somebody who the Bible calls Christ to be Christ-like? You already Christ. You know, it sounds good, but you will not know the difference. They will just tell you fake China. China gospel, and you believe it. Brethren, let us be Christ-like. I don't understand. It's like saying, let me do what God has done. Who are you? You are Christ. You're already Christ-like. We can tell you to act like it. Act like who you are. But you can't be again. You already are. Hallelujah. You already are. It sounds subtle, but it's important that you understand the tenses. See what it says in the song. From whom he did follow, he also did be designated to be conformed to the image of his son. If you don't remove to be from that verse, you are in trouble. You have turned what is an experience into a process. Notice it's at the size. What does it really say? Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinated, conformed. You were predestinated, conformed. That is, when you come into Christ, you are conformed. You are not going to be conformed. It's not a process. It's an experience. The word conformed means to be exactly like. That's what conformed means. That's why he uses the word that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the first one to come out of the womb of spiritual death is Christ. Everyone that came out looks like the first one that came out. Because when he came out, is a protocol, the prototype. So when he came out, what did he become? He arose and he sat. Everyone who came out, there is no limbo. There's no vacuum. Everyone that came out, they also came out to sit and to reign. Hallelujah. So why did he come out first and he has everything so that we can look to him as how we all look like? Christ is the firstborn or is a prototype, is the example of how we really look. So if you see Jesus looking glorified, that's exactly how you look like in the spirit. He's standing in status, brooks no disobedience. Brooks no disobedience. So in the same way, it's difficult for you to imagine Jesus. He's jumping back and forth. He's sweating. I said, come out. You must come out today. What's your name? You're having dialogue. Come out. Come out. Come out today. You come out. Come out. The Bible says to the devil. Then you are sweating. No, something is wrong somewhere. Somebody is not sure. See, a centurion walked up to Jesus. Matthew chapter 8. Walked up to Jesus. He said, my servant lied sick at home of the palsy. I pray thee. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. St. John said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. He said, but I am a... Let's read it. Matthew 8. Let me quote it out of context. From verse 7. See what it says. Let's read verse 6. That's what Samuel is saying. Lord, my servant lied at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Yep. Thanks, verse. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that I should just come under him, but speak the word wholly, and my servant might be healed. May be healed. Can you see how definite it is? So Jesus was wondering, who is this who has this kind of boldness? Why are you so sure that if I speak, something will happen? Because that's not the level of faith most people that come to Jesus use. What's the level of faith? Come and lay your hands. We need your hands. Jesus, you have to come. You know, some of us will be like that. This situation, God must come now. God, come now. Touch here. Touch here. That's the kind of faith. You don't say, no, come into my house. Why? No. When your words will have the same effect, speak the word only. My servant shall be. That's the strongest of it. Shall. See what Jesus said. Jesus said it to Marvin and said to them that followed, really, I say unto you, have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Next verse. And I say unto you that many shall come. Next verse. Let's skip all this. Next skip all this. Okay. The previous, where's the verse where he said that I say unto one, go, and he goeth? It's previous verse. It's not in that chapter. It's not in Matthew's gospel, is it? Okay, so find a man under authority, having what? Hallelujah. How many of you know martial law? How it works? It is obey first, complain later. You know that? Okay, so when the soldier speaks, he expects obedience. He says, I'm a man having under authority. So the authority I have was given to me. That's what it is. Having soldiers, I say to this man, go, he goeth. I say to another, come, he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he equated the word of Jesus the same way. And Jesus said, oh, that's what you believe. I've given a command, go home, your servant is healed. And the servant was healed. Think about it. What did Jesus do? He exercised authority based on what the man believed. So if the authority wasn't exercised, would anything happen to the servant? No. So when it comes to authority, it has to be exercised primarily through words. Is it okay for you to say, I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus? Yes. Who's that for? You. When you are facing demons, you say, I'm righteous. No, you don't say that one. He doesn't want to know. What do you say? Come out in the name of Jesus. Stop in your activities and desist your maneuvers in Jesus' name. That's what you do. That's what he does. I said, I'm the workmanship of Christ. Okay, so greater is that in me. That one's for you. Some people are saying, let's have praise worship. Let's sing it out. You know, don't sing the demon out. Cast it out. Say amen. Cast it out. Don't sing it out. What is praise and worship for? Magnifying God. Not for scaring demons. He said, exercise the authority. You have to exercise it. How do you exercise? With words. You speak. You stand your ground. You speak. When he came to Jesus in the midst of the storm, Jesus didn't say, Father, Lion of Judah, King of Kings, I am that I am. I shall that I shall be. El Shaddai. You can see that the wind is blowing. You can see I'm going to the other side. That's conversation. You can see I'm going to the other side. You can see the enemy wants this boat to capsize. You can see. You can see because you see all things. He didn't bring me here to die. I will not perish. Lord, do something. No prayer was offered. Jesus got up. Peace. Be still. What is wrong with your name? Personal drama. You are wasting time. Hoping God will do something. No, and nothing happens. Nothing happens. But every time they called him, his response was immediate. He spoke as a man that had what? Authority. He exercised it. A man brought his son that was taken with epilepsy, spirit of epilepsy. Disciples of Jesus. By the time Jesus came back on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, said they were struggling with it. The man came and said, I brought my son to your son and they couldn't heal him. But if you can do anything, help us. If I can do anything, you know, all things are possible to him, I believe it. The man said, Lord, help my unbelief. Jesus looked at the young man and said, leave him. The demon left. There was no negotiation. What is your name? How many of you? 17 of you. What's your name? Bacchus. What about you, Shakura? You. Oh my goodness. There's all kinds of comedy. You saw only one experience where Jesus asked for a demon. Only one. Or for only just one. We're not turning it to a practice. Ask him. Were you at his name ceremony? Ask him for his name. What's your name? Speak your name. He said, cast them out. He didn't say discuss their name with them. Think you are asking a liar what is his name. What will he tell you? I don't understand. You ask a liar what is his name. What do you think we tell you? How many of you are there? There are only two. You say that we are 15. And then you two are not thinking, 15. Right, James, I think we need to fast more. Fasting doesn't cast out devils. Say amen quickly. You can fast from now till 1st of January. When you come out, you just be leaner. No authority. If you don't have it, you don't have it. You know, some people just be like, if I fast for long, I don't want to tell you some things that we have done, that we are ashamed of. When you fast, he told us that fasting is the secret of power. So we fasted. When you are fasting, you are seeing visions. No water in your system, no food in your system. Then you now feel lighter. You now think that lightness is power. When you are moving, you think that, this is power. If you just touch it like this, you just fall. But you feel like this sensation, this is how power comes. Power from on high. You fasted so much. You didn't do proper study. You didn't get more revelation. Just that they said fasting is the key to power. So you fasted. You prayed small, fasted. When you fast, you dry, no food, no water, will you not be lighter? How can you equate lightness with power? That's the problem. No revelation. No greater understanding. That's the problem. Because we try to produce by works what God has given by grace. We always have a problem. Then the most humiliating thing. One young boy like that hasn't fasted for several days. Don't not really pray. Just comes. Freeze a mad woman in front of you. And now look him. Because you told Brother James that we need to fast more. He said there are 15 of them there. No. We are not called to have conversation with demons. We are called to cast them out. Hallelujah. We are that generation that Jesus has been waiting for. We walk in power. The Lord shall send the rod of his strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Psalm 110, verse 2 that we read. The rod of his strength is in the midst of Zion. We are ruling where? In the midst of us. Say, I will never turn my back to the enemy. I will never turn my back to demon possession. Why are people afraid of demonic activity? Because they've heard the wrong things. That's all. Because they've heard the wrong things. So you are unconsciously terrified. You don't want any situation where you confront them. But the Bible says confront them and cast them out. Look at 1 Peter 8. James 4, 7. Look at James 4, 7. You will never find anywhere in the epistles where the Bible says that we should call upon God to do something about the devil. And the average believer doesn't like that. The average believer doesn't like that. Because everybody wants like, God, this is your situation. Come and deal with the devil. But you won't find anywhere in the epistles. Because if you find it, it will be contrary to what Jesus said. Go ye therefore into the world and preach the gospel. All authority has been given unto me where? In heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore. Why are you going? All authority has been given. If it is all, it is all. Less none. So look at what James tells us. Submit yourselves therefore to. How do you submit yourself to God? Who is he writing to? Believer or unbeliever? So how does a believer submit to God? I can't hear you. Submit yourselves therefore. Therefore means there's a preceding thought. Okay, look at the previous two verses. He giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So pride there is a reference to those who are discounting the revelation of God's word. So submit to God means submit to revelation of God's word. That's what it means, submit to God. A believer doesn't submit to God except to submit to revelation of God's word. Submit to God here means take your position, take your place, accept what God has done for you in Christ. Hallelujah. Accept it. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he shall what? Shall flee from me. Notice there is no room in that statement for maybe something else will happen. Resist. If you resist, the one resist there, okay, let me look for the best way to explain. It's not our English like resist, because the word resist means that he wants to encroach, so stop him. No, the word resist there means confront. have confrontations. When you get to a place, because if you look at the word resist in English, as though it wants to take over my property or come to where I am, I must stand my ground to defend. And that's not what the word resist means, confront. That means you can step over into somebody else's life and deal with demonic activities there. That's what it means to resist. So resist the devil and anyway, what will he do? What will he do? The word flee means it will run away from you as though in terror. That's what we do. So does it not this sound a bit different from beggarly prayers? It sounds different. It doesn't sound like God expects a believer to pray prayers that are beggarly. Oh God, where is your face? Look here, behold my situation. Behold your situation. God, when you open the chapter of my book, which book? You now pray situational prayers. Prayers based on what you are passing through. That's how you are praying. You are not praying in light of scriptures. Already you have given Satan an advantage. You have borrowed him false garments of authority to wear when you are praying that way. He says, submit yourself to the authority of God, then resist. Stand against the devil. What will he do? He will flee from you. Oh, let God be true. Hallelujah. And every other experience contrary. I don't know how many times I've stood my ground. I've helped people, ministered people, cast out devils from people, stop demonic operations. Young lady says, something's always coming night to torment me. I said, sleep on my bed, sleep here. Let him come when I can come here. He said, are you going to stay here with me? I said, I don't need to stay here with me. This is my bed. I've stayed there for a long enough. She will sleep there. I woke up. Did you come? He said, he didn't come. He can't come. What did I know? I'm seated with him in heavenly places, far above. Hallelujah. It's so important that we realize who we are. It's so important. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. So, first witness, James 4, 7. Second witness, 1 Peter 5. Look at how Peter puts it, verse 8. First Peter 8. Be sober, be vigilant. What is that? Sobriety is the state of the mind. Every time the Bible speaks to a believer to be sober, it means control your thoughts. Don't think outside of the scriptures. Don't let any other experience other than the authority of God's word rule your mind. Okay? That's why I tell people, don't read testimonies of former occultists. People who have not been discipled. They come to where believers are gathered and they lie. Let me tell you what I mean by the lie. I'm not saying they come to lie deliberately. I'm saying their experience is their testimony. And the experience is mostly a lie. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I was Satan's second in command. Do you know how many second in commands he has? That means lie to all of them. I was Satan's second in command for 25 years. You are a human being. How can you be Satan's second in command? Then what happened to the other demons? Some things don't make any sense. Then when you were saying it here, somebody is also saying the same thing, Zaria. That is also Satan's command. So many of you are Satan's saying, we don't even hear of the third in command. That's the funny part. Have you heard of third in command before? No, second. All of them are second in command. We've never seen fourth or third in command. Second in command. I was involved in his activities. When we used to have a meeting, Satan sits on the throne. That's another lie. Satan doesn't have any throne he sits on. He walketh about to and fro. Is that what the Bible says? He walks to and fro. You said he has a throne. They are doing movie for you. You are second in command. Hallucinations. That's what you've been put into hallucinations. You've been deceived. And though the person is now saved, they still believe all those experiences. Have you, back in the 1992, read that book, Delivered from the Power of God? Sorry. I'm just joking. If you read that book, you'll be delivered from the power of God. Is that demonic? Because you have been delivered from power of darkness before. When you read the book, you'll be delivered from power of God. Because fear will now sit on your shoulder permanently. Those books magnify the devil. This lady's book, Rebecca Brown. Books that should be banished. Should not be seen in any Christian's library. Nothing to glorify the finished work of Christ. Except to proclaim what Satan has done. Things that a believer should never touch with a long pole. I almost feel like saying that if you have a friend who has a book, unfriend the person quickly. of any books that should be burnt. If you just read just one, you will know what I'm talking about. They should never be read. They are lies. Only God's word is true. Say amen. Be sober. Keep your mind free of deception. This is how to walk in authority. Be sober, be vigilant. Stop believing in generational curses. You have not believed in generational blessing yet. And you belong to a generation that is blessed. You've not agreed with that one. You are believing in generational curses. Imagine. It's my father's father. You don't even know their name. You know what he did? That is afflicting me like this. Bill Gates has never mentioned that. He doesn't even know his father. It's our family. But you changed family when you came into Christ. You changed family. Who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and has translated us to the kingdom of God? Is his work no more perfect than what ever Satan has done? Even if Satan has been reigning in your family for years, you were delivered. You were translated. You are seated. You are now a master. You that you should go home. Fix one weekend and go home. Say, where is that altar? I say, altar. You remove all the stones, you scatter them. You tell them, bring table. I want to eat. You don't need to go and wash hands. You bring table. I want to eat here. Why are you? On this video, no. An idol is nothing. I say, an idol is nothing. You don't understand. That tree, they've cut it down 3 times. It always goes back. Bring machets. We'll cut it now. You sit there, pound the up there, and eat. It will go down, grow up again. It goes green. What is green? Why is it growing back? The people that are cutting it, they know it is something. You know it is nothing. That's why I said that. Yeah, Master, they wrote my full name. They took it to the village. Congratulations on your promotion. It's not congratulations, because if I were you, I'd start praying for the person who took it. You should pray for the person, don't you know? Your life is hid with Christ in God. You are foul. So when they are wrapping him, or wrap God, or wrap Christ, now get to me. If Christ can be just, that's why you can be just. But what is your first reaction? See fear. They took my name. Pastor, in the night, somebody was calling me. They are discussing your matter. That's why they are calling. That's all. What's your real name? Jesus. If any man be in Christ. What's your real name? In Christ. That's all. That's why when you see this book of life that they are talking about, you think it's Tobola Fola Shade that is there. No. The book of life has only one name. Jesus. If any man be in Christ, where is he? He's in the book of life. They can't be doing Torulope Fadulu. Then when you say Torulope Fadulu, 2,000 get up. They even now come and say, you were bearing Shayo Ogunjobi. But you, we can't see your name. Say, I changed it to Jesu Jobi. That's why we can't find your name here. You have changed your name. It is Ogunjobi that we recognize. Jesu Jobi. Jesu Jobi doesn't mean you get to heaven. I don't understand. You say, I changed my name because there's Shango or Ogun there. And that is why they say that's what's affecting my destiny. Which destiny? I don't understand why people. You have all kinds of superstitions that people just believe in. When you are now born from above, so in the realm of the spirit, you are not even bearing that name. The name you are bearing now is Christ. Hallelujah. That's the name you're bearing now. You are a demon destroyer. You undo works of darkness. Jesus put you here for that purpose. Not to be dodging, hiding, running around, but to be confrontational about forces of darkness. Be sober, be for your adversary, the devil. Go about like right now, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Hallelujah. Confront him. That's what it means. I mean, a demon gave a testimony about Paul. Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. Bros, who are you? They knew Paul. How did they know Paul? His standing status and the fact that he had been exercising his what? Authority. If there's any demonic activity around you, you are not hoping it will go. You know it will go because you stand your ground. You rebuke with all boldness. You rebuke with all authority. You are who God says you are. Hallelujah. You are who God says you are. That's what you are meant to do. They which have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. So all these stories of, you know, and when I was trying to rebuke, and then that demon now said that you you too. Human beings can even say that, but no demon has the right to say that. Shut his mouth. Be quiet. Out. That's what the Bible says. Out. Think about what Peter did. The same Peter that denied Jesus thrice. Somebody that should tell that, you know what? I'm not fit for ministry again. The same Peter in Acts chapter 3, a new man in Christ, now stood and said, silver and gold are we none. Look on us. Such as we have given thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. There was no question. It wasn't hope. It wasn't a fear. It was definite, it was direct, it was sure. This will work. It has to work because of where we are and who we are and where we're seated. Glory to God. So you see demonic activity around your family, around your people, around your parents. There are things you ought to do and say. We exercise authority primarily by the words that we speak. There are things to say, there are things to do. There's a way to conduct yourself because of where you are seated. You exercise. Don't wait. That's not the time to pray to God. When we pray, we edify ourselves so that we can do what we're meant to do. Not that we pray and ask God to come and do something. No. You will never find anywhere in the epistles where God is asked to do something about the devil. No. He has done all that we need to do. That's why Jesus is seated. And he sits till he has put all his enemies where? Under his feet. A young lady was kidnapped in Abuja by all these occultists. The funny part was she was coming from church when she was kidnapped. They are dangerous kidnappers. So, you know, when the captive becomes a captor. So she was laughing. You know, it's a rude shock to the enemy when you are meant to be afraid and you are laughing. Then she began to laugh, said that, I tried to stop the laugh, but it increased. Then, you know, something began. Conversation between the kidnappers. They said that this one you have picked today is not a good one. Look at the way she's behaving. Let us drop this one for us. I was saying, drop which one? We have been searching all money, we didn't get. We now decided and say, hey, but this one that you have captured, look at the way she's behaving. This one will not be good for what we want to do. When they were saying it, the lady started laughing more. I told you. Let us drop this one. Can't you see something is wrong? I said, no. All day we have been going again. When they were discussing, the money lady laughed. Suddenly the van somersaulted. People rushed the scene to see who they could rescue. When they opened the vehicle, kidnappers were dead. They brought out the lady, still laughing. Still laughing. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. I'm looking forward to when they will tell you, whatever your area of business or contract, there are no more jobs, so there are no contracts, or they refused you. You sit down, say, you can go. You sit down. Just that. You start to say, you want to say, what are you doing? It's a very serious matter. I'm being serious. This is how we get serious where I come from. You start laughing. Whatever the report that they bring, you increase your laughter. This is doctor's report. You increase your laughter. That's like, is it me? Where I'm sitting? When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, while at them that dreamed, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with. He didn't say the laughter was temporal. It will last for as long as your captivity has been turned. She didn't know that would be the outcome, but there was confusion in their camp. The vehicle was turned. The two captives were gone. The lady was brought out unhurt, unharmed, and still laughing. Still laughing. That means there was a supernatural cocoon that shielded her and that caused whatever they planned fell upon them. Imagine. Eve was saying, the God of my fathers, I beg you. Which you know, there's some prayers to pray. It's actually fear that's motivation, not faith. It's actually fear. It's not that it's wrong to pray. It's like, what is the motivation behind the praying? Are you bold or are you afraid? There's a holy calmness that settles upon you when you know, I determine the outcome of this. If God be for us, who can be against us? So you know the final outcome. Let me tell you who is waiting. The devil is waiting. God is waiting. You are the establishing witness. How is it going to swing? Based on what you will do. God has already made his position clear. I've sat you with Christ. You have all authority. Satan is looking. Is there opportunity? Is there room? What are you meant to do? Resist. How do you resist? Many times when we laugh, we're resisting. Hallelujah. We're spreading the fragrance of our victory when we rejoice. So, when you see us, you know, Holy Ghost missing around the corner, when you see us laughing, I always tell people who are just joining us for the first time, even if you don't understand, just join us. You will soon catch up. This church, when they are always laughing, this church, I don't understand. We know. That's how we also started without understanding, but now we understand. Just join us in laughing. They will give you a new report. We will give you a new testimony. Hallelujah. There's no weapon that's formed against us that can prosper. Where we are is where we are. We abide in victory. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet tonight. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Look at the situation in the ear, in the eye. Look at the situation in the eye. Whatever situation, laugh. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I have the last laugh over you. I have the last laugh over you. I have what I believe for. I have what I desire. I have the last laugh concerning you, concerning the outcome. I have the last laugh. Give the Father praise. Give him thanks. Thank you for 2020. A glorious year. A year of supernatural possibilities. A year of signs and wonders. A year of the revelation of God's glory. A year where the fragrance of Christ's goodness is spread through you on every side. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Now begin to pray for supernatural boldness. Bible says, now behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness may speak your word. By the stretching forth of your hands, and as signs and wonders may be wrought through your only child Jesus. Let's pray for everything that supernatural boldness to walk in our authority, to walk in our dominion, to reign as we ought in Christ, in our family, in all areas of our lives. We reign in life by Christ Jesus. We exercise our dominion. We don't draw back from the authority we have. We are conscious of it. We have a revelation of it. We exercise it without failing, without hesitating, without any reluctance. In the name of Jesus. Lenondro, Shibro, Stavrasti, Geiste. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We're going to pray concerning three major areas, and that's what we are really doing, is releasing power to effect it. We're going to release power to effect it. First of all, we're going to stand against every long-standing sickness or affliction concerning any and every member of this local assembly, no matter what it is, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we command the affliction to cease, the sickness to dissipate, in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Let's pray. Now, we're not praying to God. We're releasing power to combat, to stand against, to destroy, to cause the activity of the enemy to stop once and for all. As an assembly, as a people, we stand. We take our stand in prayer and we command every affliction, every physical ailment in the bodies of any and every member of this local assembly, we command it to cease and to come to an end now. In the name of Jesus, Brasto Kabate, and Krasto Kobroka Sivret Ikelik. We pray, we minister the supply of God's Spirit to Pali Grestia to bring a turnaround, to enforce liberty, liberty in the bodies of men, whatever the ailment, whatever the sickness, whatever the disease, in the name of Jesus, right now we stand our ground and we stand against it and we command the affliction to cease in the name of Jesus. No matter the sickness, sickness, no matter the disease, no matter the affliction, no matter the ailment, we command it to come to an end now. Cease, dematerialize, cease to exist in the name of Jesus. We stand against you by the power of God. And the Caleb Brewster, we release God's power and we command every affliction of work of darkness to come to an end right now. Healing and health and wholeness is released into the bodies of the saints in this assembly in the name of Jesus. We reverse every negative medical condition. We enforce health and wholeness right now. And he'll come back, see break up, back, kill a gas tail. Yundro stavrada, eka somonte, eliko broshi vrasta gas break, you no brogote, eka gake si brodia, paroshta kate, eleso brokotaka, we release God's power, maso brato kuli gatine lebretoko gadige ligi dia shubrogote, to combat and to deal with any ailment and every sickness and every disease. Olo broste beka, we release power of God. Ena Casto, Broco Caliangra, Casso Cobra, Catilegie, Yeturo Cate, Belly Bro, Shibrasta Casso Brogote, Letia Gacaste, Esubroco Cabrananga Dambragata, Epa, Choco, Braste, Keligo, Getie, Brosta Gata, no Broco Stilegana, no sickness, no disease of any kind stays or sticks to the saints, but there's wholeness, there's soundness of body, soundness of mind, there's health at work mightily. A Dio, Cobra, Shebronian Gats to go in Gracestes. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we're going to pray and decree in the same way concerning conception. For every couple that desires a child, children, now we are a local assembly. That means we are the house of God's power. There are things we would decree that those things will be established, because the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. So we're simply using God's power to effect certain things. So in every home where there's that desire to have a child, 2020 is that year, is that golden year. 2020 is that golden year that we hear the sound of children abundantly in many homes that have that desire in the name, without fail, without fail, without fail, without fail. We release badia telugoste vrekiste kasiada lakubro zevretika lakri shebroku stavrakatia yeshebroku kesivrek apatia lakuboy ene kumbra kaka subrote lika. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Oh, glory to God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hey. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And we have come to a threshold of the manifestation of God's glory, expressions of His majesty to individuals through this local assembly, a showcase, an avenue for expressing the glory and the goodness of God, a place of miracles, a place of signs, as it was planned from the beginning. So intensify in prayer and stay glued to the word. For that which is about to unfold will supersede and surpass all that has taken place differently. Yea, a golden year will 2020 be a golden year in the annals and the history of the body of Christ. It will be a golden year. A year for those who have cast out hope to take their hope back again. A time for the expectations of many to be overly met by the power of God. And those who never thought they would walk in glory and miracles will suddenly see themselves engulfed by the glory of God. Oh, miracles. 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 Strange, creative miracles. Miracles from afar. Miracles from a distance. Miracles through spoken words. Miracles through the touch of the saints. The Lord Jesus demonstrating the fullness of his resurrection, even through those that yield. Oh, parts that were missing replaced. Replaced. Surgeries carried out on people. Mental cases healed all over the place. Men restored back to their right mind. Crutches left behind. Walking sticks discarded. Sight restored. The dead raised in their numbers. For it will not be a time for superstars. It will be a time for the body. A walk of the body. A time for the body. A train of the body. A release of the saints. All over, reports will flood back in. It will be exciting to be called a believer. It will be exciting to be called a saint. Oh, a time, the golden age of the church. We're on the brink, we're on the threshold. So do not stand aloof and afar, but jump in and dive in. And swim now and obey the promptings. For 2020, there will be strange and unusual leadings. Leadings that will bring abundance. Leadings that will bring financial increase. But leadings that will lead to miracles and signs and wonders. Many sightings of angels again and again and again. Doing mighty works that will leave the jaw of many open. Mouth of many open and not able to close. For this is the days of the Father's power manifest to his sons. So do not falter or drop back, for you are on the very edge, the threshold. There is an unleashing of the glory and the grace of God. Oh, far surpassing most of what has gone on before. So be diligent and stay committed and stay true. And be a partaker and don't be on the outside looking in. Yeah, stay in line. Stay committed. Stay true where he has placed you in your local assembly. And that which he will do as part of the body will pass through you also. And your Christian experience shall be renewed, and there shall be no dull moment. For many, many things that you try to accomplish shall be accomplished without trying. For the ease of Jehovah will go forth, and mighty things will be wrought. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. 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 We give you praise. Amen. Amen.